Unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be seated, please. Spring is almost here. I know the calendar says it's spring, but the weather's not cooperating. But I know it's here because I can see it. I can see it in the buds on the trees. I can see it in the greens. I can see it in Michelle's flip-flops. It's around us. It's going to be in the 60s next week. I'm really looking forward to it. I am a fall person, but I enjoy the spring. And when spring comes, I get anxious to be outside. The winters are difficult. But I like to, one of the things I like the most about the spring is, you know, getting my hands in the dirt, going outside and getting the flower beds ready and all my pots that I like to plant. There's something about putting my hands in the dirt that connects me with my grandfather. He was a farmer, and I'm not sure why I have this deep connection to that. When I bought my first house many moons ago, I redid all the beds in the front of the house, and just that connection to the earth. There was something there. And I know that the gardener in our vineyard today, I'm sure, feels the same way about the plants and the trees that he tends. Our gospel lesson focuses on this idea of not chopping that fig tree down. And there's several ways that the parable this morning can be taken or looked at. The first way to look at it is that the vineyard owner is like God, waiting to plunge down and do damage, cut us down the minute we do something wrong, when we don't meet the criteria as God followers. The minute we falter, the minute that we don't bear fruit in his name, he's waiting there to strike us down. And that's kind of where the beginning of the gospel reading comes in this morning, when the people come to Jesus and they're saying that the Galileans had been taken down in the temple and Pilate had mixed their blood with the sacrifices during worship. It was a very heinous crime. Pilate was known for his inhumanity toward others. But they're reporting the news to Jesus. It's like they're saying, hey, wait, look at this happened. They want Jesus to know that this event has occurred. And they want to know how bad were they that God would punish them in such a way. And Jesus says, no, that's not it. You missed it. The people want to point the finger and say, how bad were they that that happens to them? How much did they sin for God to punish them in that way? We need to remember that in those times, people acquainted things like that happening, situations like that, as sinners seeing the wrath of God. I'm happy to report today we don't think that way for the most part. Most of us don't. And Jesus makes the point here today. Do you think they were worse sinners than the other Galileans? No. God bless you. And no, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Kind of a surprising response. They're expecting Jesus to say, why, yes, they were terrible sinners. That's why God did what he did. And instead he says, no, they're no worse than any others. And unless you repent, you will have the same fate. I'm sure the people were taken aback. Wait, what? Did I hear you correctly? Something terrible happened in the temple, and you're telling me they weren't any worse than anyone else? And now you're telling me I have to repent? I'm sure that didn't sit well. And Jesus goes on, hey, wait a minute. Talking about news, did you hear about the tower in Siloam that fell on those people? Are they worse sinners because they were terrible victims of that act? No, no one is any worse than any other. Again, he tells them, no, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. It's a real doom and gloom message this morning, isn't it? You know, but it is Lent. And it's easy for us to point the finger, to look and say, hey, look what happened to them. Sometimes we might even think they deserve it. It's not a very Christian way of thinking. But sometimes we look at people and we think, look what happened to them. Well, look how they're living. Look what they're doing. It's very easy to point our fingers at others without actually looking at ourselves. And that's what Jesus calls us to do this morning, to look at ourselves. He says to them when they come with the news, the gossip of what's going on, he says to them when they come looking for answers as to the why, he says to them, no, look at yourselves. You know, we have things that happen to us or to other people. I'm not trying to hide that. A lot of times we want to know why. Why does God let this happen? Jesus says, that's not it. You don't get it. Jesus says, if things can happen to those people, then we need to realize we need to repent now. Anything can happen at any time. And we need to take advantage of the time we're given now to repent and turn to God. And Lent is a perfect time for this idea of repentance. You ever see that guy with that van in Williamstown? I always smile when I see this. He's got, it's like a white van. And on the side of the van, he has plastered, "Repent and sin no more." Right? You've seen signs like that. They always catch me off guard. And I'm never quite sure why. I mean, you know, here I am, right? I'm in the pulpit. I'm supposed to, like, dig that kind of stuff. But it always catches me off guard, and I'm a little, like, almost offended. Repent? Are you crazy? But then there's this pressure to be really good all the time. Okay, who's making that? I'm not making that. I don't know about you guys. But, you know, this repent, this idea of repentance, it's this turning away. We have to remind ourselves that repenting is turning away from those things that make us far from God. And sometimes even the good things we need to turn away from. And in Lent, it's time to concentrate on the areas where we need to repent, where we need to look at God closer and bring him closer to us. We're not perfect. We never will be. Well, maybe some of you might be, but we're always going to fall into some temptation or other. They're out there. We can't hide them. But God calls us to turn to him. And that's what Jesus is saying to the people when they come, asking, why do these things happen? Are these people any worse than any others? I wonder, what is it about God that we don't understand? And Jesus says to them, stop worrying about who the biggest offenders are. Start worrying about your own eternity. Stop comparing people and trying to figure God out. Stop worrying about all that stuff and worry about where you stand with God. It's kind of like a wake-up call for them, and it can be also for us. I'll talk more about wake-up calls next week with our gospel lesson. But this week, we're going to think about this idea of God and bad things. And is that God, or is it just bad things? I think we all know in this life, bad things happen. They do. But we have the assurance that God is with us through those bad things to help us get to the other side of whatever our circumstances are. The parable of the fig tree is such that the vineyard owner wants to chop the tree down because it has not been bearing fruit for 3 years. He's walking through again. He looks. He calls to his gardener, "Hey, get over here. This tree, why is it still here? I'm looking. There's no fruit. Chop it down. Cut it down right now." And the gardener says and pleads, "Leave it alone. One more year. I'll dig around it. I'll put manure on it. If it bears fruit, next year, well and good. If not, then cut it down." There are several perspectives at work in this story. You know, I like my perspectives. Spend way too much time thinking. But many of us might see God as the vineyard owner, ready to slice us down and cut us at the knees, like I said earlier. You know, we fall short and all of a sudden we're waiting to see what's going to happen. I would like to say this morning that I want us to look at God as the gardener. God is the one who sees the tree not bearing fruit. Pardon me. And he says, "Give me another year. Let me help it. Let me put my hands in the soil, put manure on it, give it the nutrients that it needs to grow and prosper and bear fruit." That's what God does for us in those barren times where we find ourselves far from God. And we're not bearing the fruit of God's love and grace. God digs down, surrounds us with the things that we need to find our strength in him, and allows us the time we need to grow so that we can bear fruit. And if God is the gardener, think about this one, how much more are we the vineyard owner, wanting to cut our own selves down when we're falling short of the grace of God? The times we question ourselves and think, "I'm not good enough, or deserving enough, or worthy enough for whatever God wants for me." Are we harder on ourselves sometimes than God is on us? I think so. If God is the gardener, he's willing to put the time in with us over and over again to help us grow, to give us the nutrients, the source of food that we need to grow in him. And how many times do we just shut that off, take away that source? Our roots run deep, but a lot of times we can't seem to find what we need to feed ourselves because, like the vineyard owner, we cut ourselves off from the source. We cut ourselves down. And the ending of the story isn't much better. It doesn't give us very much closure. Did the tree bear fruit? How effective was that manure? We don't know. We aren't told. Jesus leaves it open-ended, as he usually does, for us to think how we think. He leaves his listeners to ponder the generosity, the patience, the grace of the gardener. They're struck by the words of the gardener when he says, "Let it alone," which, by the way, in Greek means to forgive. Let it alone. Forgive the tree. They know now that Jesus wasn't simply telling a story about a fig tree, but he was talking about God and the way he forgives us. And so if we are the vineyard owner, if we see ourselves as that vineyard owner, God might be just asking us to forgive ourselves as he forgives us. He might be asking us to repent and turn to him for the grace and mercy that he is waiting to give us. And perhaps in this time of Lent, we can take some time to reflect on God as the gardener. God is the one who's willing to get into the manure, the stinky stuff, the stinky parts of our lives, and spend time helping us grow in him. Every day, we're inclined to break the relationship God has with us, to cut ourselves off from the source and turn our back on the way he wants us to be as his children. Oftentimes, we are like the fig tree that fails to produce good fruit. Thank God for the patience and grace of the gardener. Amen.